So as we've been discussing, much of policing research focuses on actual crime control methods, what works and what doesn't work, but other parts, translation, how the research itself is happening, and how we get police to institutionalize research is also of interest to us. This project is attempting to understand some of the basic tenets of police research partnerships that developed during the course of an evaluation conducted with a police agency. The partnerships are important in the translation of research, and the focus of the partnerships shouldn't just be on the research itself. Successful partnerships create interactions benefiting both sides of the relationship through knowledge exchanges. A number of people have discussed and emphasized the importance of these partnerships between researchers and practitioners. Most of the information is based on intuition and experiential knowledge from researchers and practitioners that have engaged in these sorts of partnerships. We wanted to understand these relationships more empirically to hopefully increase the number of successful partnerships in the future. There are several benefits to creating a partnership. They bring together different skill sets and different perspectives. Researchers have knowledge about successful interventions that have occurred in the past with other agencies, while the practitioners have experiential knowledge about implementation and feasibility of the knowledge itself. The partnerships don't just happen. Research doesn't stand on its own. We wanted to know if there were characteristics of actual partnerships between the researcher and agency that can affect the type of evaluations being conducted, or the qualities of the relationship that can help or hinder a long-lasting collaboration between scholars and the police, increasing both the supply and demand of policing research, as Cynthia talked about earlier. In this first take, we're trying to understand how partnerships may improve the receptivity and use of research in agencies. A few questions of interest we hoped to address in our understanding of these partnerships include how the partnerships are being established in the first place, factors that can contribute to a successful continuous partnership, and if partnerships can facilitate policing interests in research more generally. The real questions are really complex. I'm going to use Cynthia's term. We're just scratching the surface of understanding these partnerships. In order to try to get to these questions, we used the studies in our evidence-based policing matrix as a convenient resource of crime control studies. Each individual study in our matrix tells its own story. It gives us clues about the partnerships that were either created or sustained through a particular evaluation. We sent out 83 surveys to first or second authors in the matrix using the partnership itself as the unit of analysis. The survey asked respondents to refer to their work with the named department for that particular evaluation while answering the questions. And on the next slide, I will explain how we got from 124 to 83. This is a preliminary analysis. We are still collecting responses and plan on bugging people until we get a higher response rate. The matrix has 124 studies, as we were discussing. 22 of the researchers were unavailable, so we had to eliminate those studies. Three studies are listed twice, and since our analysis was looking at the partnership as opposed to two different outcomes looked at, they were only counted once. Three studies were eliminated that didn't represent an actual partnership, and we subtracted 13 studies to avoid over-representing repeat authors in the matrix. So we ended up with a sampling frame of 83 and 55 responses so far. To try to understand some of the important elements of partnerships, we developed a survey with four major themes. We first wanted to look into how the research begins in the first place. Who initiates it, essentially creating the opportunity for the partnership, and the main reason the initiation took place. We look at the source of funding and support, and whether the project would have been possible without funding to try to better appreciate the impact of funding in these partnerships. We then look at implementation, both pushbacks and difficulties involved with it, and overcoming any problems of implementation in order to ascertain some of the working qualities of the partnership. Implementation of an evaluation or a research-based tactic is essentially the meat of a researcher-practitioner partnership. So we really wanted to try to understand some of the difficulties and overcoming the difficulties. Lastly, we look at outcomes. What kind of products are being produced by the partnerships? Do the researchers work with that agency again? And something we're really interested in, did the research conducted result in any lasting or even temporary change in the agency? With regard to initiation, we find that partnerships are being established by the researchers and not the police. Over 60% of respondents stated that they or their colleague initiated the project, and only 14% of the partnerships were initiated by a member of the police agency. When asked the main reason why the research was initiated in the first place, the majority stated they initiated the study because it was their personal interest in developing their area of expertise, or it was in response to a specific funding solicitation. Additionally, 36% of our respondents had prior experience conducting research with that particular agency. Not surprisingly, we find that funding is key. Only 11 of our respondents had evaluations that were not funded. Of those that were funded, 68% were funded by some sort of federal grant. When asked whether the researcher was already planning on carrying out the evaluation, irrespective of whether funding was available, 67% said no. And of those with funded studies, 68% replied that they would not have been able to conduct the research without funding, highlighting the significance of funding and also indicating that there can be some really important support in federal leadership in creating these research partnerships.
We also wanted to look at implementation because it gives us some clues about the relationships between researchers and the police and gives a sense on how well they are able to overcome any problems that may arise. So similar problems may arise, and this can provide a better understanding of what to anticipate when trying to implement research in practice. And on this table, one interesting item is the units that experience the most frequent difficulty. Those were the non-police partners, the mid-level supervisors, and the officers, detectives, or other operational units. So this demonstrates that the levels needed to implement the evaluation are actually the ones giving the most pushback. So researchers really need to work with these groups in order to implement the evaluation because evidence-based policing is essentially occurring at this level. Another interesting item relates to the community. Many times, police may believe that citizens or the community may be resistant to the innovation. Hotspots policing can be an example of this. You know, police are taking away resources from one area and moving them to another, and the community may not like it, but these findings indicate that there's actually very little opposition from citizens in the community groups. Finally, it's also interesting to note a comparison between records management and the crime analysis unit. There's a difference in these units with implementation difficulties. Get a few more implementation difficulties with records management. So it's important to understand that while both units are really important when trying to implement research and they're both needed, there may be a little bit more pushback from the records management. So although this chart points to some obstacles in implementation, the researchers who experienced implementation in our survey, they were usually able to overcome the difficulties. The majority were able to go to, you know, the mid-level supervisors or the officers in the unit and address the implementation difficulties. So while there's difficulties, it's not all bad news that they are able to overcome any problems that may arise. Okay. We also asked a number of questions regarding the outcomes of the research and how it impacts police partnerships and the products that the evaluation brings. So this chart demonstrates the products that came of the evaluation. So all evaluations led to the production of a scholarly article or something similar, such as a master's thesis, a dissertation, or a published book. Over half of the researchers provided a report to the funding agency, but less than half provided an official report to the police agency where the evaluation was actually conducted. And then, as you can see, there were very few other evaluations or products, you know, for police to actually get access to easily. The majority of the felt the findings of the study were useful to the police agency, but there was a 12% minority that felt that their findings from the evaluation just really weren't useful to the police agency. But when we asked about whether the findings were useful to the police research field in general, everybody felt that the findings were useful to the research field. So we also were interested in learning if the study led to any changes in agency policy. At the conclusion of the study, well, the majority said that they either did not know or there were no changes. So that the majority didn't know, it indicates that the researchers are not really following up with the agency in order to continue to build the partnership. So clearly, not only are researchers initiating the partnership, but most of the products that come from the partnership are for researchers.
Our last question was open-ended and asked for three pieces of advice for other researchers to try to ensure a successful and fruitful partnership in the future. Several themes appeared in the responses. The theme that appeared the most was to keep the agency involved in the process and meeting frequently, involve them in the planning, and try to be on site as often as possible. 78% of our respondents stated that after the study concluded, their relationship with the agency was the same as it began, and 20% felt that the relationship had improved. Another theme involved the concept of feedback, both giving and receiving feedback throughout the entire course of the evaluation, and also advice regarding sensitivity when dealing with negative or mixed findings. Researcher style and attitude advice included suggestions on remaining as flexible as possible, treating everyone on the research team as equals, and one of the ones that came up a lot was not acting like the only person coming to the table with any knowledge to offer. The building relationships advice included developing both personal and working friendships and aiming to continue the partnership after the research concludes. 60% of our respondents did work with the agency again following the conclusion of the evaluations being discussed, which is kind of interesting since the majority didn't know if the initial evaluation led to any changes. The fifth most relevant theme involved developing contacts with people at multiple levels of the agency, building relationships top to bottom. Other themes included being aware of and staying away from the agency politics and some general technical advice about research design, IRB, and having a good research team to work with.
In conclusion, what did we learn and why is it important to evidence-based policing? Well, first, we learned that the majority of evaluations were initiated by the researcher and mainly because it was the researcher's area of interest. As Cynthia talked about, it's really important for evidence-based policing to be a conversation between the researcher and the police in meeting both those needs. The second thing is funding is key. Most studies were funded by federal grants, and the majority of researchers said that they would not have been able to do the study without the funding. So scholars really don't have much of an incentive to, you know, reach out and establish these relationships on their own without the funding. So one thing is that funding agencies can maybe take more of a leadership role in creating and improving good partnerships between researchers and practitioners. One example of this in the U.S. is the Smart Policing Initiatives by BJA, Bureau of Justice Assistance. The third item, implementation difficulty. It's most frequently experienced with the units that are responsible for implementing the evaluation, but most researchers were able to overcome and address these difficulties with the unit. So it's not just about convincing the top leadership or the crime analyst, but the officers and supervisors directly responsible for the implementation, because that is where the evidence-based policing is happening. And the College of Policing here might be an example of a way to try to get more officers understanding and on board with evidence-based policing. And finally, not only are researchers initiating, but the products are for researchers. The products need to also be for police use as well in order to get that translation. And additionally, many of the researchers were unaware of whether any changes had occurred based on the implementation, so there needs to be more follow-up from the agency. So overall, there basically just needs to be more use and balance on both sides of the partnership. Thank you.